And welcome back to Coast, as we will be talking with our dear friend James Paris and you about how to pray for a financial miracle. I want you to share your stories. What have you gone through? Have you been so despondent like he was, but you pulled out of it? We'll be back in a moment with those calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Jim Paris with us. Jim, I'm curious about the reaction that you've gotten from our audience over the times you've been on.
It's been unbelievable. I can tell you that the first time I was on, we actually shut down the ordering on Amazon for the book. They had literally thought they were under some type of attack, and they turned my book off on Amazon. That's to begin with. Then I've been on multiple bestsellers lists on Amazon every time that I'm on the show.
That's great.
And all that it is, it's a little book. It's 150 pages of my story, and there's 20 pages in there, which is like a little prayer journal for people to work through. And people go through this book, and they tell me, I've never heard this before. I've been going to church. I'm a spiritual person. No one ever told me that you could sit and pray and ask God for advice and information and direction, and that you would actually get an answer. And people are just blown away by the book and really my story. I think most people who read it say, wow, if this guy could go through that, then I can go through what I'm dealing with. I think that's part of the encouragement of it as well. But I'll tell you, when I was on the last time, a guy calls in and says he's losing his home, he's lost his job, he's going to become homeless. I'm given the information for him from your production people. We express mailed him a book. Before the book even got there, I had someone contact me, another Coast listener, who offered this guy a free place to live and a job.
You're kidding. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, like within minutes. So I'm connecting those people together. And I have to tell you, I do a lot of, and historically have done a lot of radio, a lot of television appearances, and a couple of things about this audience. This audience is, these people are salt of the earth people. I'll tell you, I have never interacted with such people as these Coast listeners. And I think, George, that's a credit to you, because people, you know that you're a sincere guy. I met you in person when I came to do your TV show. I've been on TV with some big people who they're one way on the camera, and then they treat you a totally different way when you're off camera. You probably have been there and seen that. That's not how you are, and I think people can see that, and that's why you draw such a sincere, caring audience. And these people, they don't just care, you know, about people they know. I mean, this is a total stranger offering someone a place to live and a job for, you know, just because they heard them on your show. This is the kind of environment that gets me so excited to be able to talk about prayer, because I know these are receptive people and they're people that mean well. And if you don't need a financial miracle and you're listening and you're a Coast listener, you're going to be someone who's out there looking to be the financial miracle for somebody else. And that's what's so exciting about this audience.
You know, Jim, I do a number of speaking engagements all around the country, and they don't seem to slow down. But one of the reasons I push myself to do this is I get a chance to meet our listeners face-to-face. And they are exactly what you've just said. They are as open and nice in person as they are on the phones. And to see them up front and personal is so important to me. I get a kick out of it. I mean, I've got a couple events, one in Edinburgh, Texas, and my stage show in Toronto this month, two events.
I'm waiting for you to set up the Coast to Coast retirement housing development so I can put my house in there, you know?
You never know. I mean,
wouldn't that be great? You go up to the grocery store and nobody would be fighting for first position in line. People would let you go ahead. And maybe you were running a little bit short. Someone would step up and pay the rest of your bill for
you.
Yeah,
that would.
If they could all be Coast to Coast listeners.
Tom's not going to tell you, but I will, that every once in a while he'll be at a grocery store and he will pick out somebody that he thinks might not have, you know, the money to buy all the things they're buying. And he'll go up to the cashier and say, you see that person three rows behind me, or three people behind me? And they'll go, yes, sir. here's my credit card. Don't let them buy their groceries. The minute they come up, just say, your groceries are all paid for, like they won a contest or something. And he does that a lot. I have tried to go to the stores in disguise, hoping he'd pick me and pay for my groceries. But he doesn't. But no, he seriously does that.
But you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is I was a guy that was really big into giving other people. I was the guy that gave to charity. And I felt so good, you know, giving to other people. But when you're the one receiving it, it doesn't feel as good. I mean, you think to yourself, you know, I don't have any money. Someone's bringing me groceries. Someone's bringing me a car. But I found that there was a lesson in that for me to really learn to appreciate that. But I'll tell you what, there is a blessing just as big and exciting for the person who creates the miracle, who gives the gift, as much as for the person that receives that charity.
Oh, there's no doubt. You know, a lot of people have said, and I don't want to broadcast a lot of this, but I'll do some interesting things for people. And, you know, people say, why do you do that? I don't do it just for the person. It makes me feel better about myself. And that's important.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the reward in and of itself. I mean, my wife and I, we've done things like there's a kid here in the neighborhood. He had a bicycle that had no brakes on it. The kid was, the way he would stop is he would throw the bike and himself onto the ground.
That's the only way he could stop his bike.
So
yeah.
I went online and bought the brake kit to fix this boy's bike, and I couldn't fix it for him. So I went up to the store, I went up to Walmart, and I bought him a brand new bicycle.
I love it.
And I walked over with this bicycle, you know, one of these, he's a five-year-old kid.
So what was it, $100 maybe?
It was like $60.
Yeah.
And the look on this kid's face, I would have paid $5,000 for the look on this kid's face.
What did his parents do?
His mother, literally, tears started welling up in her eyes.
Okay.
She couldn't believe
so that. They didn't say, don't do this or anything?
No, like no. And I asked them beforehand because I know people are kind of funny about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they are.
Like, oh, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you
why know, are you doing this something? For my kid? I can do it.
Would you mind if I bought your son a new bicycle? She said, oh, I would love that. That would be so nice of you. You don't have to do that. I said, no, I want to do this. And, again, it is awkward to share a story like this because people are going to say, oh, yeah, he did that so he could share it on the radio. But you're right. There's just something that you get that money can't buy, that feeling you get when, you know, this little kid, 5 years old, I'm handing him this brand-new bike, and it's got, you know, all the colors on it and stickers, and he's looking at this brand-new bike. And here he is, a kid riding a bike that doesn't have brakes. If you can imagine what that bike looked like, he had worn the pedals off down to the nub, and here he is getting a brand new bicycle. You just love being the miracle.
And ironically, Jim, the more you're benevolent, the more you help people, it comes back to you five times.
Yes, it does.
I don't know how that happens, but it does. It does. You give somebody $20. Somebody's going to mail you a check for $100 or something. It's going to happen like that, or you're going to get a refund or something. It is weird.
So many times, absolutely. Yeah. It's just like the universe is out there saying, all right, you put in 20, here's 200 back. It's just an amazing thing.
Let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you. The hour's going by quickly. We'll go to Honolulu in Hawaii. By the way, there's a little hurricane on its way that way. Louise, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us. Hi, Louise.
Hi. Well, I decided to call because this show is a little bit about when people get despondent and, you know, I killed myself once, and I want to tell you, it's extremely disappointing.
Well, hold on now. Let me ask you, you killed yourself once?
Yeah,
or you tried
I
to kill yourself?
No, well, I think I was dead because I was floating around on the ceiling, looking down, and thinking, wait a minute, this isn't working. And then I'm seeing, you know, you can see, not like we normally see, but I see the ambulance guys coming in to the bedroom, and the one guy says, well, we're too late. And then the guy takes your cast, and he twists it, and I just let out screaming like a banshee, and I was back in my body. But when you kill yourself, to anybody who gets despondent and thinks they're going to do that, there's no light, there's no tunnel, there's no angels. You're just floating around, and you're still kind of awake, wondering how come you're not dead.
Well, aren't you glad you came back?
But here's what happens. I'm 70 now. That was when I was 28. You're never depressed again, and you go through the rest of your life being extremely psychic. It's kind of like
you do get tuned in.
Side effect. So anyway, that's all I have to say.
All right. Thanks, Louise. How about you, Jim? I mean, you never went that far. You came close. You went to the door.
I can't say that I actually did kill myself, and I'm still here for the interview. That would be quite amazing. But, you know, I've heard that when suicide counselors will use that as a tool with someone that's suicidal to say, look, you're looking for this relief from your situation, and you're really not going to completely just disappear. You're just going to, you know, enter the next realm. And that's really what my Christian faith teaches, that I would not have really just disappeared. That's what I wanted, was just to just disappear into nothing. And I believe in an afterlife, and I would have had to live with the consequences of having to make a decision to end my own life, which certainly was not the right thing to do. But you know what it is? It's the pain that you're in. The emotional pain reaches such a level that you literally can't breathe. I mean, that's the point that you get to, and you don't know what to do. And it just becomes an option to think, wow, if I do this, then this is a way out. This is a way that I don't have to wake up tomorrow and continue to deal with this problem.
Mark is in Land O'Lakes, Florida. First-time caller for Mark. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mark.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
And what I wanted to say to James is I'm an attorney down here, and I started an incorporation service in the mid-90s online and did very well with it until the crash occurred around 2007, and at the same time, certain things that gave us an advantage online in terms of people coming to us went away. So I just didn't have the business anymore to incorporate, and that went down to a trickle. So I was in terrible shape financially, $250,000 in debt, felt like, you know, going out many times, and what I discovered studying what my situation was like was that there were things that could be done and there were things that you could avoid doing. And I wrote a book called Debt Hope, Down and Dirty Survival Strategies. That did okay. It hasn't, you know, done great. I do a lot of foreclosure defense, defending deficiencies. And believe it or not, there's hope even in those. I have clients who are getting a free house. I have a client who beat a deficiency action on the same legal point that got the other client the free house.
Wow.
In Florida, you have to serve a complaint within 120 days after filing it. You'd be surprised how many times people blow it.
Wow. And they actually can get their house for free?
There's a decision coming down called Bartram from the Supreme Court, and if it comes down the right way, the bank can never come back and try to get these people's house.
Wow. Is that just in Florida or all over the place?
That's just in Florida.
Yeah. That's something else. Jim, go ahead.
Another reason to live in Florida, right? You get a free house after foreclosure. That I'd love to hear the rest of that story. That sounds fantastic. But, you know, the point that he's making is when there seems to be no hope,
there is hope.
Something could happen. You assume the worst-case scenario, and then something happens that works out to your favor. And I've heard it so many times where just someone forgets to file a form or a certain number of days passes before they're supposed to do something in court. I was reading today how college loans are not dischargeable in bankruptcy. So I was reading a story about a guy. He had $1,000 a month payment in student loans, and you can't get rid of those even in bankruptcy. So his lawyer advised him to go Chapter 13 bankruptcy, which was not to discharge the debt, but the judge came in and lowered his payment to $100 a month.
It's a workout.
Under Chapter 13. So there was a way that he could get through that.
That's right. That's right. There are smart ways that you can do things and work your way out of situations that most of the people put themselves in, don't they?
Many times it is our own doing. In my own case, I should have been more careful with my money, and I know that, and I've learned the lesson from that. But so many times, if you could just buy a little bit of time, George, you know, a few weeks, a few months, if you could buy some time, you can usually come up with an answer to be able turn the page and get to that next station.
Let's go to Tom in San Diego in California. Hello, Tom. Thanks for calling, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, well, I'm at the point now where I'm struggling along. I'm a retired vet and kind of work at the VA. But things are not exactly, you know, what they should be.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to begin with, a few years back, I got some problems, and I wound up doing 8.5 years, you know.
In jail?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you want to share what happened?
Well, I was working in San Ysidro. You know where that's at.
Yeah.
And I think you could take it from there.
All right. Well, you learned your lesson, right?
Yes, I did. And the reason is I trusted somebody who I shouldn't have trusted, and people have told me, he's not what he thinks he is. And
pulled you in on it.
Before I even knew what the heck was going on.
And how old are you now?
I am 58.
58. And are you starting to pull yourself out of things, or is it still tough?
Basically, in a way, yes, but it's struggling to, you know, hard to meet things as we go along. I've been trying to look for a second job, which at 58, and with my, you know, experience and, you know, let's just say from my background, not too many people want to touch me, if you know what I mean.
But you want to do two jobs, which is
pretty
admirable.
And three, or if I have to.
Jim, this sounds like a perfect candidate for how to pray for a financial miracle.
Absolutely. I would encourage him, though, to maybe think a little bit larger. Maybe think about starting some kind of a small service business. A lot of times when you have a felony conviction, it's very hard to get a job, and if you do, you get one that doesn't pay very well. So what a lot of times felons will do, they come out of prison, they've cleaned up their life, they want to start anew, start some kind of a small, and there's so many service-oriented businesses you can do now, whether it's you know, getting a riding lawnmower and cutting people's lawns. There's so many things like that where you're working for yourself, and you can make some serious money providing a service in your community, even if you have that felony conviction. If you're the business owner, you're hiring yourself, and you pay yourself what you're worth, which is the profits.
Jim, hang with us. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you fast Sunday night here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com. Don't forget to download our free apps in the iPhone store and your Android store. And also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter by going to coasttocoastam.com. On our next Coast to Coast program, a couple special guests. Matt Stein joins us as we talk about what happens with the grid that might go down and things like that. And also Dean Radin joins us from the Global Consciousness Project, his latest work, Super Normal. So make sure you're part of that Coast to Coast show. And welcome back. James Ferris with us, How to Pray for a Financial Miracle, and we'll take your final calls. Jim, you've got that free ebook offer. Would you give that out again, please?
Right. The ebook version is free, and it's important for people to know that you don't have to have a Kindle device. They've got it set up. You can read it on any computer, tablet, even on one of those smartphones. And you just go to Amazon.com and search for the book. Or easier, just go to christianmoney.com. You'll see a picture of the book there at the top of the page. Click on that. It takes you right to the link where you can get the book for free. And that's only going to be for a couple more days because they're only letting us do this here. I worked it out to time it with this appearance on your show. So it's only going to be for a couple more days that it's free. So if they miss that, then they'll have to purchase it.
But you can get the book still. And yeah, I got to tell you, Jim, maybe I'm old school, but I like holding the book in my hand.
I do both. You know, there's some that I'll read it as an ebook, and then I'll buy the physical book because I like it so much. But I love the fact that people can even get this and start reading it tonight. I mean, someone who's really, you know, on death's door financially tonight, they can get this book, start reading it, and using the information now. They don't have to wait 2 or 3 days even for it to be shipped to them.
All right, let's go to some final calls here. Spike is with us in Montreal. Welcome to the program, Spike. Go ahead. Spike, you with us? Well, Spike is no longer with us in Montreal, but let's go to Palm Beach, Florida. Denise should be there. Go ahead, Denise.
Yes. Hi, George.
Hi.
Jim. I'm such a big fan of you, George, and Coast to Coast, longtime listener.
Thank you, Denise.
You're welcome, Coast Insider as well. Jim, I was listening to your story. Let me see. I have so many issues. I'll start with, in 2001, a few months after my mother died of ALS, we were very close. I tried to commit suicide. I took an overdose of pills, antidepressants of all things. Actually, the weird thing was, I wasn't trying to, it's so strange, I wasn't trying to die. I was trying to see her, you know, and maybe have her tell me, because I had young children at the time, to, you know, it's not my time to go back. And I don't know whether or not I saw her, because I was in a coma for 3 days.
Oh, boy.
And when I woke up, I was in the cardiac intensive care unit. I woke up and I was surprised that I woke up, you know, and I had no memory of anything. And I've suffered from major depressive disorder my entire life. I'm a very spiritual person. Excuse me, I'm nervous.
That's right. You're
and
doing well.
I just, you know, since then, you know, I've worked very hard all my life. I was 14 years old, raised with a very, you know, good work ethic. My father was in the Marines. In any case, I'm on disability now. I suffer from major depressive disorder. I'm laid up in bed because I just recently tried to rescue a injured kitten in the back of where I live and fell down the embankment and blew out my knee and fractured my ribs. And I'm near homeless. I have two beautiful children who live with their father, 17-year-old son. My daughter just graduated university. And my place is not conducive for them to visit. I pray all the time.
Do you have any income coming in at all, Denise?
I get a disability check, and I have insurance with that. And I hate that. I hate being on that because I feel so powerless and hopeless. But
yeah, but you're entitled to it, so don't worry about that.
Well, George, I feel it's just...
So If you got a job, would that still continue or would that stop?
It probably wouldn't continue because the disability would stop because it's from what I earned. It's not the taxpayers. That's SSI, which is supplemental security.
All right, Jim, I'm going to have you jump in for a second. What can we do for Denise?
I mean, obviously, you know, really feel bad for you. I mean, so many different multiple situations that you're dealing with, your health, you're dealing with your emotional situation, the depression, all of that. You know, I don't claim to have all the answers. I kind of gave up on that a few years ago. My view is, though, that God has something for you. He has a plan for you. Now, you may not see it today. You may not think that, but I believe He has a plan for you, something special that probably has to do with what you're going through right now. I find so many times that the answer comes out of the very problem that people are facing. Maybe God's going to use you to care for and reach people that are in your exact same circumstance. Maybe that's what He's going to do. But I would encourage you in your prayer time to spend some time listening and writing down what He might communicate to you that His plan is for you, because I don't believe God has given up on you. It sounds like you've started to give up on yourself, but it sounds like you're a tough lady, and you want to do what's best. You want to turn the corner, but you're struggling, and I've been there. I know what that's like, but I don't believe God's given up on you. So I think really the only thing to do here is for you to connect with God and ask him what his plan is for you, because you've been through some unique, tough things that I think makes you especially qualified to do certain things, maybe helping people, like I said, in your very same circumstance. So look to God. I have faith that he has a plan for you, and I believe if you look to him, he will reveal that to you.
How about a lucky break once in a while for people, Jim? I mean, is that happen a lot? I mean,
oh yeah. I mean, out of nowhere. I mean, you think to yourself, wow, it couldn't get any worse, and you're in this situation, then out of nowhere, just amazing miracles happen. It happened to me. I shared the story with you. The last time, I'll mention it again briefly, my son and I, we go to a jazz festival that's right here in town, and it was a little bit confusing because some of the performances were free, but some of them were pretty pricey. And so the one performance we wanted to see, it turned out, we found out that it was going to cost like $60 each to go. And my son was a real trooper. I said, we can't go, son. We don't have the money for $60 each. And so we're leaving the venue, and we run into Eddie Henderson, the guy that we wanted to see that we had no money to see. And I bump into the guy, and he says to me, are you trumpet players? I said, yes, we are. He said, are you coming to see my show? And I sheepishly looked down, and I said, no, sir, I honestly can't afford to.
You said that. You admitted it.
Yeah, I said, I don't have the money to come to your show. And I share this story in the book, and he says, you're going as my guest, and he loads my son and I into his stretch limousine and takes us to the show with him and brings us in and tells the people at the gate, these are my guests, and told them to let us pick any seat that we wanted.
That's fantastic.
In the venue. And this is the kind of thing that began to happen, George, when I started praying in this different way, is that God, unsolicited, I never even prayed to ask for that. I'm like, well, we've got to go home. We don't have the money to do this. And all of a sudden, there's no doubt, God stepped in and said, you're going to be able to take your son to this concert. And it was like we had won a contest, how it all worked out.
I bet your son never forgot that.
Never forgot it. To this day, he's a young man. He's an executive. He's graduated from college. And to this day, he will never forget that.
Is a musician still with us?
He is. He's a trumpet player. I'm a trumpet player. Eddie Henderson, by the way, the trumpet player, heard me the last time I was on Coast and sent me a very nice email. He bought several copies of the book through Amazon, shared them with family, and said that he had family listening that contacted him. And he said he never knew that small gesture that he did for my son and I meant so much to me. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that changed my life. I mean, that I was able to do that at that moment, to take my son in a limousine.
It was
to see this jazz trumpet player, and I had no money in my pocket. Yeah, that was a miracle.
It contributed to changing that whole outlook for you.
Absolutely. And he loved that he was able to do that for me. Never really realized how big of a deal it was. That's how humble and generous of a gentleman he is.
That's fantastic. All right, next up, let's go to Anna in Seattle, Washington. Hello, Anna. Go ahead. You're on with Jim Paris.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Hi, George. It's so cool to talk to you. Hi.
Hi.
Paris.
Hello there.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi.
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 Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Okay.
That's all right.
Okay.
Hi. I just want to make sure you heard our hi.
Hi. Okay.
Thanks for the call, though, Anna. Now we're out of time. No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
I knew you'd do that. Now.
Okay. That's me.
Okay.
Hi.
What's happened with basically?
I think this is Goldie Hawn calling in.
Okay, but anyway, what's happened to me is I was in the hospital for maybe 4 or 5 days. This was like last year. I've been pretty ill. Like, I've survived cancer again.
Good for you.
But there are other things, you know, that go along with that, that developed and stuff like that. So I just, I'm like, okay, you know, you accept those things in you, you know, and I, you know, God and I have always had a, what I thought was a great relationship. And, but the thing is that while I was in the hospital, I had, something happen that it just still blows me away. I came back to nothing. It was like I got, like someone came into my apartment and they took my desktop, they took my laptop, they took all my instruments.
You mean you got robbed?
Viola, yeah, but the thing is that I have a friend who is a detective, did a little work for me, I told him I thought I knew who it was.
Oh.
I was correct.
Yep.
But the thing is, I am on disability. I'm still not, I'm not walking well. And on top of that, I broke my toes. Don't ask me how. They just... So it's bad. But the thing is that on top of that, the same people who... I mean, it really kind of freaked me out because... You know, they always talk about, oh, I'm a good Christian, I'm a good Christian. And when, you know, when I hear somebody, the first time they meet you, have to qualify that they're a Christian, I kind of go, why are you telling me that? I mean, that's great, but why are you telling me that? And it's always, look at us, we're so good. Well, turned out those are the very people that did it.
That robbed
me. And this person also did something really bad that has set me back. Now, I'm on disability. Unfortunately, on disability, you don't get a lot. But it's SSI, SSD. I have assistance with housing, but my pulmonologist had told me I need to leave. I need to move where I'm from. I mean, where I'm at.
Too much smoke and stuff? Too much smoke?
Well, actually, yeah, this is a non-smoking building, but my neighbor upstairs smokes, the neighbor next to me. The landlord is a very, you know, she's a very nice person, but she lets people
break the rules.
And the thing is that it's affected me, and I have no vehicle. I can't drive. I mean, even if I had one, because of the medications that I'm on. There's just no way I could do it. I never have enough money to even take a bus.
Find, you know what? I got to tell you, though, Denise, you might want to find a lawyer. You've got a great lawsuit here.
Yes. Oh, let me tell you something. I do have an attorney. His advice was you need to physically remove yourself. I mean, I have to be out of here. I mean, it's like before we could do anything because the people that did this fraud thing, the theft, but they also did a fraud where they ordered from my carrier, okay, Verizon, they ordered like these iPhone, what do you call it? Well, I'm looking at it, holding it in my hand. I use something called the Defender Box. You know, people have OtterBoxes, that kind of thing. To put your phone in to protect it.
Yeah.
So they took my name because this address goes for all six apartments here. Three on the top, three on the bottom. They took my name. They ordered everything, and the regular FedEx guy, okay, was on vacation. I mean, I was like, because our regular guy, he knows me, you know. And,
let's say, because we only got a couple minutes left. James, this is a tough one.
Another person with a lot of different situations.
This is a tough one. I would get the lawyer, though. There's some money there.
I agree with you on that. But I'll tell you one thing, too, that strikes me about this caller is they've stolen everything, but they didn't steal her joy. She's laughing and so happy.
Right.
That spirit of joy. I love that about you. And, you know, like I told the other caller, you know, I believe God has a plan for you. And it might be going back to your career that you had before you became disabled. It might be doing something similar within that realm. And I know, George, there are rules where you can earn some additional income. on top of your disability, and there's even ways you can transition off of it, so you can kind of work your way off of it completely. And those are things people need to find out. But again, a lot of different issues here. It sounds like she hasn't given up, though, and I love that about her, that she still has her joy.
You have to have that. Minute left, James. Again, give out your website and information on how people can get a hold of you and get the ebook.
Yes, thanks so much to you and Tom for having me on again. And the website is christianmoney.com, christianmoney.com. And the book is free. The ebook version is free. So if you just go to christianmoney.com, you'll see a picture of the book. Click on that. It takes you to Amazon, where you can get the digital version free. You can read it on any computer, tablet, or smartphone. So we'd love to see just tens of thousands of people get that book. And I'd love to get the feedback. I'd love to get the emails as to what people are learning and how God is speaking to them.
Great. And did you have fun with us when we did Beyond Belief?
Oh, I love that show. I mean, you have a real gift on TV. I thought you were fantastic on radio.
You thought I just had a face for radio, didn't you?
That TV show was fantastic.
Yeah, we had a great time.
I love that.
All right, James.
I love Boulder. So I told Tommy as soon as my time comes up that I can come back again, I want to be first on the list.
Well, and I also told him you should be at some of my live stage show events.
Oh, I'd love that.
So that would be great.
I would love that.
All right, Jim, thank you so much. How to Pray for a Financial Miracle. For Jeff Duray, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.